Tonight I want to talk about how to not remember. There were three sisters, age 92, age 94, and age 96. They all lived in one house. The oldest sister decided she was going to take a bath, and she put one foot in the water and called out to her sisters, "Was I getting in or getting out?" The middle sister started up the stairs. After she heard her sister, she was going to help, and halfway up the stairs she said, "Was I going up or going down?" The youngest sister was downstairs sitting at the table, and she thought, "I guess I'll have to help. I hope I never get that forgetful." And knowing the old saying, knock on wood, she knocked on the table, paused a second, and then said, "I'll come up and help you as soon as I see who's at the door." And you've heard that before maybe, but you might have forgotten it. And I want to talk about how to not remember. A few weeks back we talked about reviewing the past and remembering the blessings, and some of that has happened tonight. And in the passage that we read, the whole chapter of Isaiah 43 is talking about deliverance from captivity, deliverance of God's people. They had been, previous chapters, he told them why they were being punished, why they were in captivity, but he reminded them in this chapter that no matter how far they scattered, no matter how much punishment or fear they felt they were under, that God was with them and God was going to gather them back together again. And we got to that verse where we read in verse 18, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it?" And again, it's almost like God is saying, and this is not a negative thing or a sinful thing he wants them to remember not. It's talking about the blessings and the previous times that he's delivered them. The times he delivered them from their false gods or false idols. The times that he reminded them of his great power and the miracles that he worked. And it's almost like God is saying, make room, because I'm going to do something else. It's almost like he's saying, those are good blessings, the things that you've been delivered from, the things in your past are good, but make some room, because I want to lead you in a new path. I want to, I will do a new thing. I want to show it to you. And shall ye not know it? And he's saying, are you going to remember it? Are you going to remember not, so you can remember what I'm going to do for you? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And God says, I'm going to do more than I've done in the past, and I need you to remember not some of the other things so I can put this in your mind. And I know sometimes, and even if you read this chapter, you would say all God is doing is reminding them of what he's already done. He's asking them to remember some things. And all I want to point out to you tonight is make room in your memory for some new remembrances. And I got a simple outline just like this morning. Well, I thought it was simple, but I want to define for you, what does it mean to remember? And the word that we read there in Isaiah 43, it means to make mention of it, to bring it or call it back, or to mark it. Almost has the same root as a farmer would mark his livestock, so he knew which one was which. He knew where the males were, the females were. To mark it, to dwell on it, to call it back again and again, repetitively to your memory. Not simply to possess it. It's not the same technically as not being able to call it back, but the ability to bring it back, but to actively call it back and to think on it again. David talked about it when he prayed to God, Psalm 25, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." And again, God's talking to people with a finite mind. He's talking to people with a limited ability. He created us. We're created in his image. But there are times to remember, and this is kind of a follow-up, there are times to remember not. So before I tell you how to, I want to say what to not remember. And again, think about this in context. When you're thinking about what God is going to do in your life, what not to remember when you're preparing for a new blessing. Past victories, when they hinder present trust. And again, I didn't say don't recall what happened in the past, but if it's going to hinder your trust in God now, you say, well, God's already done so much for me. I think I've kind of peaked. I'm over the hill, and I just want to think back on what God has done, but I don't see any new blessings in my life. I don't see any new paths or new deliverances or new release from captivity. I don't see anything new, so I'm just going to dwell on the old. If that old is going to keep you from trusting in God, remember it not. Paul talked about it in Philippians. He said, I have not apprehended, I have not attained, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Again, he wasn't talking about sin. He was talking about the power of God working in his life. He was talking about the faith of Christ, that righteousness of God would be shown in his life, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And Paul said, I haven't arrived there yet. I want to make room. I want to make room and remember not the previous things if they're going to keep me from trusting in God, because I believe God has something more for me. What not to remember? Past sin, past pride. The Bible says that Moses chose to follow God and not the pleasures of sin. The Bible tells us there is pleasure in sin, and it's not does not help us if we had pleasure in sin to remember and dwell on the pleasure and forget about the consequence of sin, forget about the punishment of sin. Past disappointments. You all have them. I have them. There are people in my life that I've looked up to, and nobody around here so much, but the other people in my life in my past that I looked up to, and for one reason or another, they made choices that I can't really point to them anymore and say I look to them as an example, and that's a disappointment. But to focus on that and to only remember the disappointments and not make room and make room for God to make new blessings and bring new leadership and bring new enlightenment into my life, I need to make room and choose not to dwell and not to bring up and not to mark some of the things in our past, in my past. What not to remember, and then when not to remember. I put down when forgiveness is needed and when feeling judgmental. This is in Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not that you and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So when I get ready to not remember, if forgiveness is needed and I am feeling judgmental, I need to not remember the hurt and only offer forgiveness. The Bible, we kind of separate those two verses and say we need to forgive and then make sure that you give to other people so that God will give back to you. But forgiveness, the word give is right in there. You know, we have to give forgiveness to somebody else. And if we're feeling judgmental, we'll stop, like we talked about this morning. We'll stop and weigh the pros and cons before we offer our forgiveness. But that's not the time to remember. That's not the time to remember the hurt. That's the time to say, hey, I need forgiveness in my life. I better make sure that I give it. I better make sure that when I need it, it's there, and I haven't been begrudging with what God has given to me, both in my material things and then in my ability to forgive. When not to remember. When angry remembrances, I put down nostalgia, but when you're thinking about the past and it brings anger to you about the present. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, it says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou what is the cause that the former days were better than these, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. And again, I've just as an anger here as a reaction. Now, if you have a reason, Jesus was angry. There were times where he was angry. It's not a sin to be anger, to be angry, but as a quick reaction, as a quick thinking and almost an emotion, only emotional feeling over something that you've experienced in the past and you're mad at the present, that's the time to not remember. When it interferes with your present service for God and trying to figure out the cause instead of trying to figure out how can I serve God right now today, because today is what we have. We don't have the past, we have today. So now, down to how to not remember. Review the good. Choose the good again. And I want to remind you today, tonight, we serve the same God that we've sang about tonight. That's the same God. He didn't become someone different. He's the same God of Abraham and Moses and David when he killed Goliath, and Noah when he trusted God and followed God, and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm sure some of the stories that we'll hear about next week in Bible school. That's the same God that we have. That's the same God that we chose when we got saved. The same salvation is offered to us as those that are in the Bible. And it's supposed to be the same way for us. We're chosen by God. God said, I've redeemed you. I made you and I bought you back. I want you for myself. We need to look to see the good. And I found that when you're looking for something, if you're looking for flaws, you can find them. If you're looking for negative things, you're sure to find them. And that's true for everybody. Sometimes you have to look harder than other people, but there's negatives about everything. And if you choose to focus on the negative, that's not how to not remember. That's not preparing a place for God to show you and do something that he's never done before. But see the good. God chose you, as testified tonight. God especially chose you. He had a purpose for your life. And so many times we overlook that because we're making room in our mind for the negative, and we don't remember the things that God has done, the path that God has directed us on. And God put you in this church, and God chose your husband or your wife. God chose the people that teach you, and God prepared the good for you. And see that. Acknowledge it. Look for it, and look for what you want to find. The next one I put for how to not remember, review the good, renew your commitments. We believe that you are saved when you accept Christ. Once saved, always saved. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. But renew your commitment to him. You know, renew your commitment to a husband and wife, your family. You know, I tease my kids, but I would pick them again. I know I got stuck with them and they got stuck with me, but I love them. I'm committed to them. And remind God. Thank God for what he's done. You know what? It's because we have this thing that God has given us, and because it can't be taken away from us, doesn't mean that we should take it for granted. We should be thankful for it. We should say, you know, if I had it to do over, I would do it again. I would get saved again. I would trust you again. You're a good God to me. Thank you for what you've done. Renew your commitments. Re-chew the truths of the Bible. And Joshua, they use the word meditate. And everybody pictures a cow. They chew something for a while, and then they try to digest it for a while, and then they chew on it again. But there are truths in the Bible. Of course, it's not a new truth, but new to you, that you need to meditate on the Word of God. You'll see something that's always been there, but it'll be a powerful reminder to you that God has something prepared for you for today. And it's been there the whole time, but you need to meditate on it. You need to chew on it and think on it again. David said, first chapter of Psalm said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And that doesn't happen by accident. You don't stay out of the ungodly or the scornful or the sinners. You don't stay out of that group by accident. You do that on purpose. And the Bible says that his delight is in the law of the Lord. The reason he's not with those people is because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He found his happiness in God's law. He meditates on the word of God. And mentioned already tonight, but replace and rewrite what is in your heart. And the Bible uses the word heart, the center, the soul, the part of you that is you, the part that feels, the part that is responsible for the actions that you take. When you are trying to erase a computer, Gene was talking about his computer. It's not ever enough just to erase something. You have to rewrite it. If you want to get rid of it, you have to write something else on top of it several times. It has to be a repetitive process to completely overwrite something that has been burned or saved onto a disk. And this, in similar ways, our hearts and minds are the same thing. It's not just enough one time to say, I don't want to think that way anymore. I don't have that attitude anymore. We got to replace it with something. You got to burn something else in its place, and it's got to be over and over and over again. You got to write again, over and over again. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Again, it makes the emphasis that part that's you, not just knowledge, not just knowing, but doing and feeling. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. write them upon the table of thine heart. And again, the idea over and over again, just remind yourself, take the word of God, the law of God, and write it over and over again on your heart, that part of you that thinks and feels and decides. Put the word of God, replace and rewrite what's there. And there are disappointments. There are past failures. There is the sin that we experience. There are things that we need to choose to not dwell on, to not bring up, to not remind ourselves. And the only way we do that is by rewriting what we've put there with the truth of God's word. David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." So what does it mean to remember? To actively call it back, to do it over and over again, to bring it back, to think on it again and again and again. What to not remember? Past victories when they hinder us from present trust. Past sin, past pride, past pleasures and lust, and past disappointments. When to not remember? When forgiveness is needed and you're feeling like a judge. When you need to give forgiveness, give it. And again, I wanted that to be the theme for the whole day. If you take one thing with you from everything we said today, be ready to forgive. That means you can't be ready to judge. That means you have to be ready to forgive. When forgiveness is needed, don't remember the hurt. Remember that you need forgiveness too. Remember that God forgave you. And if something from the past is ruining your present, a memory that you had where you thought it was better, you wish things were different, if that's ruining your present, instead take the word of God, write it on your heart. Review the good, choose the good again, renew your commitments. Tell people you still feel the way that you used to feel about them. I appreciate the encouragement that many of you have been to me. And the most encouraging thing you've said is that you're getting a little bit better, but just the fact that I know what you're saying, and the fact that you enjoyed listening or that you got something out of it. Renew that commitment. That means so much, even though you might be saying the same thing that you've said before. Renew that commitment. Renew that commitment to each other. Tell you know, I was thankful when I met you. You're my friend. I'm still glad you're my friend. I appreciate your friendship. Tell your husband and your wife, I still love you. I still appreciate you. I'd still choose you again. Tell God, I still love you. I still want you working in my life. If I could, I'd choose you again. Rechew the truths of the Bible. Write them on your heart. Meditate on them. Look for something that you haven't seen before. Look for the promises of God's provision and his care. And replace and rewrite anything in your heart that needs to be written over. And say, I've done it once, I've done it twice, but I need to rewrite it again. I need to put it again on my heart. The word of God, the promises of God, I need to write it again on my heart and my soul, and remind myself how good God has been to me. Again, Stryan mentioned it, but just sit down sometime and write out what God has done in your life and say, that's what I want to remember. I want to remember, I want to make room for new blessings. I want to make room for God to do more, but some of this junk that's in my heart, I need to write over it and remember and remind myself how far God has led me. Even before I accepted Jesus, the path that God laid before me so I could find what I needed. And that's what I want to challenge you with tonight, how to not remember and how to pick and choose what you decide to dwell on, what you decide to meditate on. And hopefully we can do that this week. I appreciate you all so much. We're going to have a word of prayer. We have an invitation. If there's something that God's laid on your heart, something that you've been dwelling on, you say, I can't get rid of it. I can't get it out of my life. If there's anything that we've said tonight, if there's something you could apply and write on your heart and say, I'll take the truth of God's word. Instead of spending 5 minutes thinking about that bitterness or that sin, I'll spend 5 minutes on God's word. I'll spend 5 minutes recommitting to the ones I love and thanking them for loving me. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this day. And thank you, Lord, for our pastor. I pray, Lord, that you would keep him safe. I thank you so much for our church. Help us not take it for granted, any part of it, Lord. The friendships we have, everything that you've given us here, help us not take it for granted, not be distracted by other things. Thank you for what you've given us in your word. Thank you that we can, within arm's reach, we can find the truth and the promises that come from you and bind them on our heart, tie them around ourselves, write them on our heart, and remind ourselves how good you are to us. Help us make room tonight. Remember not, so we can see what you're going to do in the future for us. Help us be ready to see the works that you have for us to do. Bless the invitation. Help us to make right what we need to. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.